Like, I once tried out for a part that didn't have to be a little person. It was just a funny guy. And I tried out. And two casting directors were in the room and they looked at me. They said, wow, that was great. But just so you know, we're really looking for a minority hire. And I was like,
hello. Oh,
well, good for you. I'm here. What? Like,
look at me.
Awesome. Like, yeah, because we all just have all too many dwarf shows. Like when I walk down the street, no one goes like, look at that white guy.
Hey, girl, you trying to hit this?
Oh, you know exactly what I need.
All right. What's up, you filthy fucking stoners? I'm your co-host, Jamie Lee.
And I'm Emily Wade. Today we have on the amazing Brad Williams.
Hey, everybody. I'm here. I'm holding a Nicolas Cage pillow. I'm happy. I hope at some point we have some viral clip from this podcast where maybe I tear up, I start talking about my dead dad, and then I'm just holding a Nicolas Cage pillow. I think that would make it more funny if I'm just like, and then the last words he said was to my daughter, and it was, I love her, which is true. Thanks for bringing it up. And now I'm holding a Nicolas Cage pillow, so now it's just more and more ridiculous.
So let's just get right into it.
Sure, why not?
Maybe Nicolas Cage will adopt you.
When'd your dad pass?
A year and 2 months ago, May 9th, 2023, of ALS. ALS sucks. That's Lou Gehrig's disease. We're going right to the dead dad stuff.
Let's get into it.
I was trying to make it awkward funny. But let's go. And his last words were to my daughter, and she's three, and he said, I love her, which is
that's so beautiful.
That's how much death sucks. He died surrounded by his family, in his home. Last words are, I love you, to his granddaughter.
Aww.
And it still sucks. Most people's last words are, hold my beer. those are his last words. And
they're like,
sucks.
Fuck that hooker.
Yeah. I hope my last words are something cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my last words with my dad were not cool.
Last words when I die.
Oh, when you die.
When I die, I want something cool.
All right.
Oh, so, I want to scare people.
Do you want
to? It needs to be a cryptic message that makes people think for the rest of eternity, like, what did she mean? And is she coming after
me? Or it's like, do you know the Muffin Man? And that's, I just go out. I'm like, do you know him?
Yeah, right. Yeah, just like right before, before you die, you just go, every May 3rd.
What's happening on May 3rd?
Or like, don't go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. You're like, what's going to happen?
It'll be at the second aliens. Door in the hallway.
Yeah, exactly. Just something crazy. The treasure is buried. Like, you know, just
I want to leave like a scavenger hunt in my will.
In your will.
And then the treasure is just literally going to be like a tooth.
Just a tooth?
That's so cruel.
That's all you get.
You're not going to have like the old OnlyFans photos or anything like that there?
For my kids to find?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Damn, mom was really hot back in the day.
Gam Gam had a donkey dog. that's what you want at some point is for them to go, oh, Gam Gam wasn't always so old and wrinkly. She had a donkey set.
She was young and wrinkly.
I think it's important to have like a photo album of all your hottest photos of when you were young. So when you're old, you can just show everyone, see, I was hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why, men, women, whatever, take those boudoir photos.
Amen.
Like do a photo shoot. Do a kinky, naughty photo shoot.
Have you ever done one?
Yeah.
All right. What's your favorite one?
My favorite one?
Yeah.
One that I did.
Can we see? Or is it on your OnlyFans?
That's on my OnlyFans, which I have not set up yet. But hey, if you're out there and you want some and you got a weird fetish about dwarves wearing odd outfits and you have a bunch of money that you're just willing to get rid of, OnlyFans, write me. I'll start one. Why not?
Do you think that a lot of people have dwarf fetishes?
Yeah.
Are they straight up with you, like when they meet you?
Yes, I had one last night.
What?
Not like nothing came of it. Married, hello. but a woman came up with her husband and just said, and it was at the Miami Improv, and she came up after the show. I do meet and greets after the show, and she comes up, and the husband's like smiling in a way where I'm like, all right, what's up here?
So he's coming too
up
happy.
Like, he's coming like, yeah. Like, he's doing like a straight Beavis from Beavis and like, yeah. And then she goes, oh, hi, you had a great time at the show. You're really funny. Just so you know, I've got a huge like dwarf fetish bucket list I've always wanted to. And I'm like, sweet.
I can't help you.
Can't really help you with that. I don't know.
Can you introduce her to her friend?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, go in your backyard, put like put a bear trap down, put a box of Lucky Charms in there, and good fucking luck, you know? Well done. Hope you can trap one.
That's how we got you here.
Yeah, that's literally how I got here. I followed the Lucky Charms.
And this is the rainbow.
Yes.
This is the rainbow. This is the pussy palace, actually.
In so many ways. I walked in and was greeted by multiple cats, and that's great. I like that you guys are embracing like the old crazy cat lady, but doing it when you're young.
Yes. Yeah.
So, do you see?
Yeah.
This is.
Yeah. Oh, right. Like the guys need more.
They need more visuals.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm looking at your chest because of the cat. That's why I'm looking there. Yeah, it's fine. Be the old crazy cat ladies at a young age. That way, when you're old and crazy cat lady, you're like, yeah, that was her the whole
time. I've been this my whole life.
Yeah, be authentic. That's the secret of aging well, is that you're ugly, but you're ugly for 40 years. Because then it never looks like you age. You're just like Clint Howard. Google Clint Howard. You're like, yeah, he's looked the same.
To our fake producer.
Yeah, Google Clint Howard.
Google Clint Howard. Bong in the chair over there.
Put something.
Yeah, he's Ron Howard's brother. He's been kind of ugly for 30, 40 years, but he hasn't aged.
But it's the same.
Okay. Yeah,
it's the worst same. Is when somebody's like super hot and then you watch as they just deteriorate.
Yeah, or like.
And you're like, what happened?
It's so sad when like someone catches up with like a Baywatch cast member and it's like 20 years later they're like, what happened? I'm like, oh, time.
Yeah, the natural aging process,
the same thing that's happened to everybody. Like, not everybody ages like Wesley Snipes, okay? Like not everybody
Google Wesley Snipes
ages like Pharrell. Like, yeah, some people are out there and time it freaking gets to you. So yeah, it's weirder when like they go away for a while and like the last thing we have of them is like being this bombshell, and you like when they were 28 and then you come back and they're 54, they're like, what happened? It's like, yeah, everything.
Happened.
You mean the thing that's undefeated? You think that's the thing that's taken out everybody except Tom Brady? That thing? Yeah, that thing.
The only thing taking out Tom Brady is pedophilia accusations.
Oh, is that what?
He makes out with his son.
I was like, oh, was he on Epstein Island too?
No, what was so there happening? Was this probably like weird video. I actually just saw a TikTok about this yesterday. It's weird that you brought that up. There was a weird video with him and he's like getting a massage and he like tells his son to come over.
I've seen this video.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, like, give me a kiss. And he's like, that's all I get. But they like, and then he makes him kiss him again and it's like a little long.
It's a little long.
And a little.
It's a little long.
A little it's weird.
Like, it's so. So I will say this. My daughter's three and she loves to kiss my wife on the lips. She loves to do it. And she tries to do it to me. And I'm just like, I'm fine. I love my daughter more than anything in this world. But I just,
she learned rejection at a young age.
Yeah.
Like, you know, have you ever been like trying to make out with somebody when you're younger and you go in for it and someone turns away? Like,
so
you just
times.
Gave her that experience
so many
of
times.
Rejection.
She'll be used to it. And so my wife doesn't like crave it. She's not like looking for it, but
yeah,
it's just like they'll be like on the couch together and then she'll go like, mommy, and then she'll like grab her and, and she's like,
so many kids do that.
It's
the cutest.
Sweet,
that's cute.
Yeah.
What do you think the age cutoff for that is?
Oh man. once they can like ask for the kiss in a full sentence, it's for me, it's the same as like breastfeeding. Like, you don't want a kid that's like
8 years old.
Mommy, please bring your teat over. I'm parched. Like if the kid can say that, then it's like, all right. But I don't want to tell someone what or what not to do. Whatever.
I feel like after age five,
when they become conscious, do you know what I mean? Like when they start developing, like interpersonal skills.
Yeah, when they can be on the breast, but also with the other hand, smack the ass. Yeah, that's too late. That's too late. It's
were you breastfed?
I have no idea. My daughter was. I don't know if I was breastfed or not.
I was.
I don't know if I was either.
I definitely
maybe
was.
That's why I'm so fucked up. My mom definitely drank with me.
How do you know?
How do I know?
Yeah. Is there like a photo in the entryway?
It's in her album of times she looked her best.
I actually jerk off to it last night. Yeah. No, it's my hot. Dad has a story because he has really loud sneezes where one time I was breastfeeding and he sneezed and I bit my mom's tit. And he tells that story like every time I see him. So
that's a great story.
Hey, it is always interesting when there's those people in your life that like you have that one story with them, but then every time you see them that has to be brought up. Like
why are you bringing back that I sucked my mom's titties?
Yeah.
Like, I'm 25 now, dude.
And this is a dinner party.
This is getting creepy. This is the cutoff.
Yeah. This is a job interview. You're making it weird. There's at some point, but I don't know. It when you become a parent, though, those kind of things, like, I always thought, like, oh, changing a diaper would be gross or I wouldn't be able to do it or whatever like that. But then when it's your kid, you...
It's something you just like, do you're it. Just like, this is my
you
kid.
Just do
I'll
it.
Take care of any
yeah,
of them and do
I
whatever.
Yeah, I have plucked boogers from her nose.
Same like, with my cat.
Same.
That's how I feel, you know?
Crazy cat lady.
We had to make, like, we raised them as
cat
kittens.
Hair on this microphone.
I know, there's so much. We try. We literally got the house fully cleaned yesterday.
Love it.
Got a little detailing done.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cat hair is still everywhere.
That's all right. When you get a, when you, like, I now have a 3-year-old and a 70-pound pit bull in my house. I know my house is never going to be clean.
Yep.
It's just, it's not going to happen. It'll be clean-ish, but it'll just be various forms of dirty. It's fine. I've lived with it. I'm okay.
I can't live with it. It will drive me so crazy that if there's like things out of place and messy, I cannot start a task until I clean the house.
Are you a neat freak?
I'm just... mentally ill.
Just a freak.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not okay.
Okay. Hey, but like that's a good form of mental illness.
Yeah.
Is cleaning. At least it's like a superpower.
Yeah.
It could be way worse.
Yeah. It's weird. I'm trying to be sensitive to people, but like if when you get
we're
depressed.
We're not sensitive here.
Okay. Fire away. So if you get depressed and you clean, that's a little more productive than getting depressed and cutting. You know what I mean? Like at least you have a clean house.
But when you do both, it's game over.
Wow. Sorry. All right.
You're like cutting, cleaning up your blood and then cleaning the kitchen at the same time.
Did I just get a boner? Oh my God. That is so hot.
Well, that makes both of us.
So you have a blood kink. No. Do you have any weird kinks? You're their kink. What's yours?
Yeah. Do I have any weird kinks? I think about this a lot because I think about like the people that like all the weird kinks that are on Pornhub and stuff. Like I've looked some of the weird,
all the categories.
Oh my God. And like balloon porn and
what's balloon porn.
Oh, balloon porn. Balloon porn is women either in bikinis or nude are jumping up and down and they're popping balloons. And some guys are just like, that's my shit.
Oh shit.
Okay.
And I'm very happy and I feel very thankful that missionary with eye contact and I'm good. I'm fine. I really enjoy that. And I'm like, I'm thankful that like right before I want to masturbate or have sex with my wife, I don't have to be like, hold on, let me get the car battery. Like, or
you
let me
go to a hot air balloon festival.
Yeah. If it takes more than like a 2-minute setup for us to have sex, like I can't do it.
Yeah.
Like the people like, want to tie you up. I'm like, it took 45 minutes. And now I'm like,
I got a friend who's into the tying up and the Japanese knots. I'm not sure what they're
called. Yeah. That's a day.
That's a lot.
I couldn't do that.
That's work for me.
And like, that doesn't seem like very spontaneous. Like you're with your girl, you come home, you know, you're making something in the kitchen. Your girl comes up and grabs your butt. And then you're like, hold on, let me get the rope. Like, it's like, so now it's like she's horny and you're just in the corner, like tying knots up together. Like, hold on, I'll be ready. Hold on.
She like does a whole work day while you're doing that. Yeah. That's
now if you're into that and you make it work for yourself. Great. Fantastic. I'm not shaming. It's just not for me. I don't really have. I think because I'm such a kink to so many people, I like very vanilla stuff. I like just very just like, oh, you complimented me? Oh, cool. You're like into me?
I needed that.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, thank you. You like you told me I was
funny. You care
funny.
About me?
Yeah. Hi.
Oh. So you have daddy issues.
I'm sure I do. I named my second special daddy issues for sure.
Yeah.
Like no,
we
but,
understand.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not really into like, I'm racking my brain. Like, I have fantasies. I have fantasies about, like, yeah, I would love to have sex with a woman dressed up as Snow White. I know that sounds stereotypical, but I do. I want that because Snow White friend-zoned all of them motherfuckers. And
you
want
to be the one dwarf that can get her.
I want to break through. They
glass ceiling.
Yeah, they have, or in her case, the glass coffin. That was a good reference. Okay, so pat me on the back on that one. But yeah, because like she was with Snow White was with seven dwarves who protected her. They cooked for her. They housed her, and then
that's so hot.
And then she ends up ending up with the prince who made out with her while she's dead. So for her, it's like, yeah,
love is fucked.
Nice, kind, wonderful person who happens to be a dwarf or necrophiliac. Necrophiliac. That's where I'm going.
Damn. Yeah, that's where.
And they were all like diamond miners too.
They're diamond miners.
So these dudes are rich.
What bitches don't like diamonds?
I know.
Come on. There's that one scene where Dopey's got like the two diamonds as glasses.
Yes.
And he's wearing them. What? How?
And she's just ignoring it. She's like, I want the guy who hurt me.
Yeah.
Don't
how
we all?
How did Snow White not like drop? I mean, she couldn't drop to her knees because then she's just eye contact with Dopey. But like get on her hands and knees, I guess. Like right in front of him, just be like, oh, you got those two rocks, let me show you these. Like, how did that not happen? I don't get
He's
it.
He's like, I've thought about this scenario playing out in my head so many times.
Because now there's the controversy in Snow White because the live action Snow White is coming
real people,
out. Like, and like, yeah, average size, tall people. There's one dwarf.
Wait, what?
All the dwarves have been eliminated in the live action.
Yeah.
Now it's Snow White and the seven magical beings. There is one little person there. And I don't know if he's...
Wait, it's seven and the magical beings?
Yeah.
Like, they won't
seven
even say
magical
and the
beings.
Seven dwarves?
No, because they're not dwarves. Six of them are just... Now, don't get me wrong. I like that they're all different genders and races, but there's black dwarves out there. Like,
just saw one for Miami Swim Week.
Yeah.
She killed it.
We did.
Yeah. She looked amazing.
Super hot.
Well, yeah. Well, we have asses.
Oh,
so.
And she was built.
The
badonkadonk. She was fit, and she was beautiful, and she killed that shit.
Hell yeah.
Would you have rather they stuck with the dwarf storyline?
Yeah, I would. And so... Don't get me wrong. It's a complicated issue because it's like, is that part sort of demeaning and has that caused some anxiety in a lot of little people's lives because of the portrayal? Yes. But for right now, that's the only jobs that are there. Like, I once tried out for a part that didn't have to be a little person. It was just a funny guy. And mm-hmm. I tried out. And two casting directors were in the room and they looked at me, they said, wow, that was great. But just so you know, we're really looking for a minority hire. And I was like,
hello.
Oh, well, good for you. I'm here. What?
Look at me.
Awesome. Like, yeah, because we all just have too many dwarf shows. Freaking Dinklage got one, and now it's too many.
There's so much representation.
Yeah, exactly. So, like when I walk down the street, no one goes like, "Look at that white guy." I've never
cis male.
I've never had anyone call me like, "Look at that cis white male." You know, that's the oppressor. That's the man right
it's
there.
Him. Get him.
No one. I mean, they've said get him, but no one. That was in Texas. No one has like they. I am a little person, so that was very strange. So I want there to be dwarf jobs for little people, and if that's where we have to go to get them for a while, great. But and then we'll move on into other parts. Dinklage has been very successful, mm-hmm. but he's one of the guys who actually is saying like, no, like he didn't want the dwarves to be in the movie, mm-hmm. and I'm like, well. Good for you, but not all of us
you
have Game
had
of
a
Thrones
huge role.
Money.
Yeah.
Yeah. All like also.
Damn.
Like other dwarves are trying to
he's like
get
like,
some roles.
I got it. I can be the only one.
Yes.
Now he's the oppressor.
Yes, he is a height supremacist.
That's like
Peter Dinklage. What the fuck, yeah. bro?
Hey, don't get me wrong. Huge fan. Huge fan of Peter Dinklage. I'm jealous of his talent. If they made a movie and called it the Brad Williams story, it would be starring Peter Dinklage, I have a strong feeling.
you wouldn't even want to star in it yourself?
No, I would want to, but he would just play me better than me. Because he's
you
that
don't
good.
Know that.
He's that good. If I hope during the strike he doesn't start doing stand-up. I'll be fucked.
Oh, shit. Because like, aren't all the actors and actresses starting stand-up out of nowhere? Because they're like, well, this is the only way I could...
Out of work. Let's. I can tour. I saw a show... being advertised recently in Palm Springs was for Rob Lowe live.
No.
And I'm like, what is he doing live? Is he standing there and reading scenes from his many films and TV shows? Great.
He's you just know standing there looking out. Hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Women are just buying the tickets because
you can rub butter on his abs. Okay. Oh,
do you want to go?
That's how I feel about going to see Pete Davidson Sunday.
Oh, we're going to see Pete Davidson.
Oh, on Sunday. Yeah. Pete Davidson in Friends. He's at the Miami Improv. It's already sold out. This will come out afterward.
So you're going to be on it.
No, I'm not on it. I'm not on it. I gotta go home. I've been gone for 2 weeks. I gotta go home, see my kid.
Where's home, LA?
Home is in LA. We just bought a house.
Congrats.
A new house, and we're very excited. And my wife is decorating it, and it's a fun house. There's multiple Robin Williams paintings.
Oh, I love that.
It's gonna be goofy and fun. I don't like going over to comedians' houses and everything's like kind of stuffy and traditional. It's like, no, you're a fun person.
This is our shrooms cave.
Mm-hmm. I'm in your living room right now. This is not a fancy podcast studio that's off in Miami with like four other shows going on and a porn set in the other room. I mean, there is a porn set in the other room. That's completely understandable.
Don't tell them. This is private.
But right now, like all this stuff is you, which is great. Like yes. You get to wake up, come out. And when you have your coffee in the morning, you get to stare at this.
I just take shrooms every morning, and I'm like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah. You have a little video game system. That's how you trap the boys, I bet.
This is, like, also, mm-hmm. it's girly enough because you got, like, the, I don't know, the different colors.
Yeah,
it's
you got the
girly.
Barbie couch.
The pink.
And, yeah,
but
bright
guys
colors.
Walk in, and they're like, I like it here. Like, yeah. For some reason, I don't feel like they feel like a part of it because there's a lot of man shit in here,
I feel
here
like
too.
This is what my uterus looks like.
Ooh. I think that'd be a very welcoming place.
Right?
Yeah. I think
heaven.
Yeah, if you pull down a woman's pants.
Your uterus and, or your vagina?
No, my uterus.
Just the
I decorated it for my future kids.
Yeah.
Mine's
so
like when you look
into
my vagina, it's not like a dark hole, it's filled with
it's
trees
bright.
And like neon signs and
love
stuff
it.
And
I think that's great.
Some leftover weed.
I wouldn't be surprised. Vaginas are beautiful. Dicks are ugly.
I think dicks are beautiful.
You haven't seen a pretty dick before?
Have I seen a pretty dick?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what constitutes.
He's
a
like, I'm looking
dick.
At it right now.
Yeah. yeah. I don't know. Like, so, okay. Here's the thing. Cause I'm sure
dicks
like,
are pretty, balls or not.
There you go.
And not, also, not all
are
dicks
not.
Are pretty.
I think you finally got it.
Crack
dicks are pretty. Balls are not. Balls look like a sad old man.
Yeah.
And dicks look like a conquering hero.
But Emily and I have different takes because she likes big balls. And okay. She likes the I feeling do. Of the balls slapping you as you get
sure.
Caught.
Don't we all?
So you
no.
Like, so you like a dangly ball.
Like the little
ball.
Clit action.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the ball hits
like
it and she's like, woo.
Yeah. Yeah. And you like it if like the guy can work up a sweat right before because then the balls are a little sticky and they go, pa.
Oh, boy. And then you get to feel pa. It peel off.
Don't say that.
It's
don't
pa, peel.
That's disgusting. Peel.
That's disgusting. I thought it's great.
I don't like suction cup balls. I just like balls.
Okay. You just like balls.
Well, yeah. Balls are you're, sweaty.
You're a ball
you
gal.
You gotta take what you
a ball
get.
Guy.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, some guys are tit men, some guys are ass men. You're a ball gal. Like,
what can I say?
All right.
I never got thrown the ball as a kid, so now I take them where I can get them.
And that's why
we have
fathers play catch with your daughters.
Yes.
Or else they're going to look for...
They're going to play catch with dick.
Yeah, and they're going to be doing that. So you're into balls. What are you into? What's
I'm
your...
into making love and being respected.
Ugh, boring. Being respected. Oh.
I'm not a fan.
I have told this story before on the podcast that I feel like you'll appreciate because we talked about fetishes and stuff. I am like the kind of person down to try whatever.
Sure.
You know, I'm like, I have a podcast. I'm in it for the plot.
Yeah.
I do mm-hmm. anything for the plot.
Yeah. You're a comedian. So, you know, you either want to have a fun time or you want a good story.
Exactly.
And eat, like with
if you
a
can
bunch
get both
stuff,
at the same time.
Oh,
double whammy and great. Content out of it or something.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Easy.
Wonderful. So what are you into then? What's your thing that you're into?
Well, the thing I'm into.
Like physical attribute?
Yeah.
Because balls are a physical attribute.
I definitely am like praising. So I had one of my exes would literally be like, you're such a good stand-up comedian. You're so funny. Like, you're a badass. Look at all the shit you've built. Like, you've done this. Your podcast. And I'd be getting like fucked and I would literally be like, don't stop. Please
keep going. So it's like, I'm a believer in daily affirmation. Like you wake up, you say something positive, put yourself in a good mindset, start the day. I do that a lot. And so now, but so he's like doing like affirmation porn.
Affirmation porn.
Wow.
Or he would like tell me a story. So my thing is, he'd be like, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
And now the story of Hansel and Gretel. Jiggle the balls. Put a thumb on my ass. So Hansel, that's so funny.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's entertainment.
No, I mean like a sex story. Like he would tell me and he would be descriptive of like a scenario that wasn't happening.
Interesting.
And he'd be like, this is what we're doing and this is where we're at and blah, blah. And this is what I'm going to do to you and what you're going to do to me. And I'm just there. It's like, I have an audiobook playing.
Wow.
I'm like, I don't even subscription.
Romance novels where he's like, and her glistening bodice was being ravaged by the throbbing member of the prince.
You sound like you read a lot of those.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Like my last guy I hooked up with was British, so anything he said was in an accent and just...
Now, what kind of Brit accent was it? Was it
was Cockney, so it was real intense.
Is that Cockney?
Yeah.
Is that all right? All right, yeah.
You gonna take this cork?
Hey, you gonna take this cork? All right. You know, I call it the London Tube. You know, something like that. Okay.
That's what she calls her pussy.
Yeah, the London Tube.
Mm. Yeah, he's like, whose pussy is this? And I'm like, it's your pussy.
It's the British Undergrounds, actually.
Yeah, because you're a colonizer. You're colonizing this pussy.
What? Literally.
Yeah.
Okay, we ask every guest this.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When you're dirty talking, do you say dick or cock?
Oh, cock.
You're a cock guy.
Oh, every time?
Yeah. Oh, dick just seems like you're cursing for the first time. Like, it's like, you want to do bad stuff to my dick? Like, it's just like, it's like you wanted to say something and you're like, too naughty. You got to pull it back. No, you say cock.
Yeah.
Like a real man.
Yeah. Like a real man. You got to put some like oomph into it.
Hop That's how I think this. About Pecker.
Yeah.
Hop like on this Pecker's cock. Like, oh, you're a pussy.
Yeah.
You're Who says Pecker? Besides like my aunt.
And, my stepmom.
And your British ex. Choke on my Pecker.
You want this Pecker?
She good Pecker.
Oh.
Yeah. So no, I definitely say cock. By the way, what would be funny is if you got like a homophobic guy to say like, I say cock, like just like some crazy homophobic guy, like, no, being gay is wrong. Well, do you say dick or cock? Dicks for pussies. I say cock. Oh, shit. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I think we actually had a guest. The opener of the episode was I like cock.
Yeah.
And awesome. That was it.
Male, great. Female?
Male.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well done.
Then he made like some jokes about being gay, and he's like, please don't clip that. And I was like, that's exactly what we're going to do.
I mean, if that's what you say, it's kind of hard.
But I mean, those are your words, not ours.
Yeah, exactly. That's fine. I love it. I love that we're living in a time now that everyone could kind of just like, you can find your people, whatever they are, whatever weird kink you're into, you can find that. You're like, it used to be like, oh, you're a furry. Good luck. Like, roll the dice. Like,
life is not going to do you well.
Like that had to be really hard for those people back in the day that were into some really kinky shit and they're on a date and they really like someone. And then they like, got to be like,
will you piss in my mouth?
Yeah, all right, here you go. Like wear this outfit. Like it's
how did the first person who was a furry, like introduce that to their partner.
Oh,
they made it a joke. It was like Halloween.
They're like, what if I had an animal tail?
Yeah, they're like, this is so funny. I'm in a costume. It's Halloween. Like, can we have sex in it? And then he's like, I want to do that again. And like eases her into it.
Yeah.
I feel like either people are super straightforward about kinks and they're like, I'm into this. Let's do this. This is exactly what I want and my boundaries and whatever. Are you down?
Sure.
Or people like, they throw like weird little like underneath comments. Like they ask you a question. I'm like, why are you asking that?
Yeah, what? I can ask you if you think you'd look sexy in a baby bonnet. That's fine.
That's normal. That's fine.
No, wear an adult diaper, huh? Like what?
It's an adult depends.
Yeah, we're playing here. We're having fun. Like, my personal philosophy is you just got to lay everything out there. Like the stuff you're into, especially if you're getting into a traditional monogamous relationship, like that other person, my wife actually said this before and I really like it. If you're married to someone, your partner is your sex life. That mm-hmm. is your sex life. Your whole sex life. I mean, listening to some other stuff, but that's fine. Yeah. Like that partner is your sex life. So yes, say what you want. Be oh, because if they don't know,
then you're going to go off yeah. with other people. That's what, okay. Yeah. We are on OnlyFans mm-hmm. and a reoccurring theme is a lot of men with either like younger guys with girlfriends or older men mm-hmm. with wives. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I'm so embarrassed that this is what I'm into and I can never tell the person I'm in love with. So that's I come so to sad. OnlyFans to yeah. like, to get it like that, whatever. And these people really just want to talk like, and not feel like, it's like, oh, you have that kink? That's totally fine. Like, tell me more about it. And then they just feel that it's like a safe space for them to share and like be who yeah, they are.
Yeah. And it's
which is kind of sad.
It's sad. And I'm sure they feel very relieved when they're in that situation where they're like, oh my God, I can finally get this out. And yeah, finally talk about all these things.
And also like, go back to your wife. Yes. You shouldn't be on this app.
And also,
but give me your money first.
Yeah. And also, if your partner brings something to you that is their kink. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you have to do it if it makes you uncomfortable, yep. but be open. And like, if my wife came to me and said, you know what? I've been holding this in for our 8 years of marriage. I really want to peg you. Like, is that first on my list? Nope. Not in my top 50, but I love my wife more than anything and I want to make her happy and I definitely want her to stay with me. So I'd be like, all right, let me get some tequila and let me get an enema.
That's what I do when I do anal, I tequila.
Yeah.
Yeah. She rips shots and I'm like, I know you're putting stuff in your ass in the room, Emily. You just took 3 shots. It's a Tuesday at 4.
I know what I'm doing tonight.
You know what? Shocking. I've never done anal. Both. You know, give or receive.
Really?
Never.
Really?
It's a good never time.
Not a fan.
Oh, well.
I've never had an interest. I think the woman's vagina is designed to accept this cock. It's designed that way. And I'm not saying it's bad for people to do it. If you like it, your partner likes it, great. Have fun. But yeah, I've just never really been into it. I've never really had a desire to try.
The only time I did anal was for a partner. I was like, I love you so much. And it was their kink. It was their thing. And at first, I was like, no, I'm so shy. Don't even put a finger in there. What if it's dirty, yeah, you know? Yeah. And then it was. But it's fine, you know? Because he was so comfortable with it and like open and it was his thing. It made me feel safe to try something with somebody. And so the only time I did anal was with him. And then after I was like, I'm never doing that again.
Because he was so good.
It was. It was good, but it was also like not. But then I got to, but then I got to peg him.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, was he just saying he wanted to do anal with you because deep down he's like, I just want to get pegged.
No. So I would like eat his ass. He liked his ass played with. So I was all right, cool. I'm going to do that for you. That's like not my thing, but whatever.
Yeah.
And so I just started like making jokes all the time where when he would do stuff to me, I'd be like, come on, babe, let me peg you. And like, I just said it so much and it was a joke. And I was like, he was like, do you really want to? Like, I'm not into that. And I was like, no, I don't want to. I don't really care for it, but I just think it's funny.
Yeah.
Because you're fucking me in the butt and you like your butt played with. So that's the next step, you know?
All right. It was like a gateway drug.
Yeah. It all starts with the jokes. It all starts with the jokes.
It all starts with the jokes.
And then one day you're in a fucking furry costume. You can't go back.
It's been said a million times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, he cheated on me.
Oh,
and I found out he cheated. I ghost him. Yeah. I have like 50 text messages, calls, like, please talk to me. And I'm like, I didn't answer any. And then I get a text message one Friday night and it was like, please let me talk to you. If I can come over and chat with you, I'll let you peg me. And so my response was, be over at 7. That's it. He was like, wait, are you serious? I can come over? I was like, yeah.
But the pegging is happening.
Yeah.
You're getting fucked.
You're getting pegged. Let me know if that's good for you, if you consent to that.
Yeah.
But I'm on the way to the sex shop. I have to go in and I'm like 22 years old and I'm like, do you guys have strap-ons here? Like, I don't even know what to get, but I was determined.
The sex shop can be very overwhelming if you don't know what you're getting into, if you don't have a clear goal or a list. Like, just walking in like, do you have dildos? It's like, yeah. Yeah, we got a lot. And then they'll bust out all the ones and all the stuff that it does and everything like that. Do you want clitoral stimulation? How does she orgasm?
It's overwhelming. I'm like, I don't even know. I just want to come.
Yeah, I just want to come.
I like it when they tell me what it is.
Yeah.
When they explain all of the toys to me, they're fucking dragon cocks. Like
dragon cock. That sounds like a Game of Thrones porn parody right there.
I bet they sold a lot of those when Game of Thrones.
Again.
Dinklage's dragon cock.
Yeah, Dinklage's dragon cock. Yeah, someone can make a mold of that. I don't know. Now, what are some, because you have some enthusiastic fans, what are some of the stranger requests that they've given you or sent to you? Like, has anyone said, like sit on this cake?
Yeah, so I've been paid this, I had this guy, and he would never tell me who he was, but he knew me in real life, which freaked me out.
Oh.
But he knew me in real life, but so I just talked to him on OnlyFans for a while, and he was like, I just want to see you get shit-faced. I'm going to pay you, like, $250 for a 10-minute video, and I want you to down an entire bottle of wine.
Wow.
Talk about your day, talk about what you did, talk about comedy, and then at the end, I want you to rub your belly and ask me if I like it. And I was like, okay. So I just get shit-faced, and I'd be, like, bopping around in my room, and that's what I got paid to do. And I was like, I don't have to do anything. I'm going to take my clothes off.
Really?
Yeah.
See, those ones, those kind of requests, I'm always like,
they're so fun.
Why is every woman not doing this? Every man.
Mm-hmm.
It like, I was half joking, but more serious than anything. Like, if you have a hobbit foot fetish, because my feet are very hobbity.
They're very hairy?
Yeah, they got hair in weird places.
Me too.
If you have a hobbit foot fetish and you're just like, I just want a picture of your foot, Brad. Awesome. You want to give me money for that? Great.
All right. What's your Venmo?
at Brad Williams Comic. All right. But yeah, like I don't care about that kind of stuff. Like when my wife was pregnant and and she knew that she was going to be breastfeeding, like we were trying to find like bodybuilders that would like get her breast milk and like want to buy her breast milk because apparently it's got like more protein or a special protein or
bodybuilders do that.
Yeah, that
That
like helps with bodybuilding. We were trying, and apparently I didn't look under the right bridges or whatever because we didn't find any. But like we were totally willing because it's like if some guy or girl wants to pay you to do something that's like, oh, I just want you to play flute. Like you're like, okay,
that's so easy.
I will do that.
I like the ones where they don't want you to take your clothes off. I have a guy who wants me to video call him, and he just needs to be told that he's a little bitch boy, and he wants me to tell him to bark.
Oh, he's one of those.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah, bark like oink for me, little piggy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great.
He loves it.
Yeah.
Or I get a lot of burping and armpit stuff.
Burping.
Yeah, so I've had someone pay me for a 2-minute video, $45 of me just consistently burping because I can make myself burp over and over.
So what do you do? Just drink a lot of Dr. Pepper or you just go? All right.
Just goes.
Some guy just came.
Don't somebody. Do it for free.
All right. And my Venmo's JAIME-Simmons.
Yeah. Don't give that shit away for free.
That's a preview of what you can get on my OnlyFans at onlyfans.com/thetoplesscomic.
There we go.
Hell yeah.
Always be closing.
Yeah.
Always be closing.
No, I love stuff like that. And like, you shouldn't be ashamed to do anything that makes you happy as long as it doesn't hurt anybody and everyone's a consenting adult. But especially the ones that are like stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go nuts. I will sit on a cake. I will kick a stuffed animal.
I'll kick a baby, bro.
Well, I don't know if that's in the terms and conditions or against guidelines.
Hey, if the baby consents, fine.
If the baby I'm like, fuck you.
I feel like, there's a lot of weird things.
Sure. They're
not weird, just different.
There's just people that are into different stuff. And like I said, my question with all those kinks is always like, it's kind of like how you progressed to the pegging. Like it started with anal, moved on to eating ass, and then got to peg him. Like if you're into the balloon porn, okay? How do you find that out?
You take her to a birthday party.
And then you rub against a balloon and you're like, why is my dick hard?
Yeah. Like, I'm curious, like, with the guys that, like, no, I want a woman to, like, wear high heels and step on my balls. I'm like,
I think a lot of kinks are psychological. So they're directly related to trauma. So when, like, super traumatic background. Mm-hmm. when I started like becoming more sexual when I was single after like an 8-year relationship, I went deep into like understanding kinks, and I just became like overly sexual. I was down to try whatever. And I was into like, I wanted to be degraded. Like the things that I were into wow. were a little bit more further, and I couldn't come or have sex if it wasn't like really kinky. Now I'm like, can we just do missionary? Like, or can I lay to the side? And like, you just tell me you love me. Like, as I've healed, it goes away.
Interesting.
But I still like, because I'm a boss babe, you know, I'm constantly having to be in control. So I don't want to be in control in the bedroom.
Got it.
So
oh,
I think
okay.
like the step on the balls is like, if you have to yell at people all day and you're in a managerial position, you just want someone to take it away from you.
That's
and take
who
that
it
power.
Usually is. It's always like those high powered businessmen. They're like, I fucking fire people all day. I'm yelling buy, sell.
They want to get smacked and whipped.
I tell my secretary she's a cunt because she brought me the wrong coffee. But now I want someone to just do all that and worse to me. So
I feel like that's Jeff Bezos. I can 100% see Jeff Bezos going to Dominatrix.
Yeah, like I am the richest man in the world.
All of those billionaires have crazy sex parties, orgies.
Because you get bored.
Yeah.
Like when you can have everything, like...
You're like, what am I living for?
What am I living for? What's the next goal? Like most guys, they're like, one day I just want to have a threesome. Then you have that threesome, it's like, okay, so... Do you want another one, or now do you want to up the ante?
Upgrade
do you want
to do you want gangbang.
Yeah, do you want an orgy? Like, what? Like, what are you doing? And then one day you wake up and you spend $25,000 and buy a dog suit and walk around as a border collie. I don't know if you guys saw that story.
I saw that. A man turned himself into a border collie.
Yep.
$200,000
It was a very expensive,
like
dog
a stupid
suit.
amount. Yeah.
If I was going to turn into a dog, it wouldn't be a fucking pussy border collie.
Right?
Bro, I'd be like a mastiff or a cane corso. Like, fuck with me.
Cane corso.
Or like a Rottweiler.
Yeah. I like that one. There you go. Yeah. 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 It's very interesting. I saw that story and I was just like, wow. Like, part of me really somehow respects him because he found that thing that he's like, no, this is my shit.
Yeah.
This is what I like.
He's going to do that forever. How's he going to make money?
I have no idea.
Do you think he's going to find a woman who's a cat and they just like fight?
Just chase each other all day. I mean, hopefully he finds a woman that's a fire hydrant.
Just that likes to get pissed on.
Yeah. Just like, all right. And she
I'm
comes
right
out,
here.
She comes
you don't
out
have to.
Actually,
outfit.
Perfect. He needs to find a woman that likes to get pissed on, and he pisses on her like a fire hydrant. Yeah. She wears all red.
Yeah.
People would pay for that on OnlyFans.
I mean, I'm sure they do.
I'd pay to watch it once.
How much would you pay to see that?
To pay for what?
Would you watch the man who was a border collie? Me on a girl dressed as a fire hydrant.
Just as a curiosity.
As a curiosity.
Oh, man. I'd throw down a 20 or a 50. I'm not going too far, too much over that.
I was
going
to say at least 100 I'd pay.
Yeah.
No, I think 50 is a good cut.
I think that, because like, I'm not into that exactly, but for the weirdness of it, all right.
Great content.
I'll check it out. I'll do a gag.
You'll
reflex.
Do a review.
Like if Two Girls, One Cup came out this year,
God.
I would pay to see that.
So
would you?
I would.
So
concerning.
I've got a very strange story with that. With that video specifically.
With Two Girls, One Cup?
Yeah. I was on a radio show. It was called, I think it's still on, Man Cow. He's in Chicago. And on that show with me that day was Dustin Diamond. He played Screech on Saved by the Bell. Rest in peace. He is no longer with us. And I walked in and said, hey, I'm Brad Williams. And Dustin Diamond, his first words to me were, have you seen this Two Girls, One Cup video?
Was this back in the day when it first came out?
Yeah, this was like the week it came out. And then I go, no, what are you talking about? He goes, you have to see it. And then he... Dustin Diamond showed me Two Girls, One Cup. And I feel like that's going to be the first line of my obituary.
Yeah.
You don't need to be known for your comedy or like how you loved your family.
That might be my last words, to bring it all full circle. My last words were, Dustin Diamond showed me Two Girls, One Cup.
You just show your daughter, have you seen this video? And then you die.
I'm pretty sure that would be a trauma and illegal in several countries. Probably this
when
one.
Hopefully when you die, she's grown up.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not like.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Exactly.
You're showing a 3-year-old Two Girls, One Cup.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
That's deeply illegal. don't need to do that. But yeah, it is very interesting how these Like, and I remember like dry heaving and like I may have thrown up, but yep. It was like, and now like everything about that moment is ingrained into my skull. Like this, I can see the studio. I know what Dustin Diamond was wearing that day. I know what Man Cow was wearing that day. Like I know everything about that studio because of that moment. Freaking got me.
That's like your JFK moment. Where were you when you saw Two Girls, One Cup?
Yeah.
Oh.
In Chicago.
I was in East Boston with Jamie. I almost threw up on a producer's shoulder. It was...
Yeah, we never watched it. And that turns
out, it was only the trailer. We didn't even see the full porno, just really? The trailer for it.
Yeah, the trailer's like a minute and a half.
Wow.
And then the full thing is like...
An hour.
An hour.
Not since the Barbie trailer has something got people so crazy.
What, did you see the Barbie movie?
I haven't. I want to.
It's really good.
It was so good.
I cried.
I want to see it because I feel like everyone who sees it has this extreme reaction on either one side or the other. Mm-hmm. Everyone either says, like, you have, like, Marc Maron, who says, like, it's the greatest movie ever.
I saw that.
What an achievement. And then you have, like, Ben Shapiro that says, like, it's an abomination and the writers should be killed.
Are we listening to Ben Shapiro?
Ben Shapiro can't even get his wife wet. So why would I listen to a word out of that man's mouth?
Yeah, wasn't that the thing where like
he tweeted about it?
Wet ass pussy came out. And,
yes,
he's like, and "What's that?"
He's like, "What's that?" If your pussy's wet, that's got to be some sort of medical condition. And everyone's like, "Wow, that's a cell phone."
That you is just like poor snitched wife. On yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, "I like my pussy like the Sahara Desert,
dry,
sandpaper
dry as fuck, mm-hmm.
so he can feel something."
Yeah, so it's like I see everyone having these dramatic reviews of it.
The cat.
Oh, yeah. The cat is scratching. Are we going?
Oh, she's locked
going?
In the bathroom.
Yeah, there we go.
Harley.
Hope they don't get too crazy.
Do you have a cat named Harley?
Yeah, that's Harley.
Davidson.
Oh, Harley Davidson.
Or Harley Quinn Davidson.
Harley Quinn.
Okay, because that's... So, we're going back into, like, fetishes and kinks.
Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn.
Oh, is it the pigtails that do it for you?
No. It's not.
It's the attitude.
It's the fact that she's with the Joker. And the Joker is a comedian that just wants to laugh at the world and watch it burn.
He's a bad boy.
Yeah.
I think the Joker's hot.
Mm-hmm. So
I loved that movie.
That's why I love Harley Quinn. Just the I think it's a Frank Miller painting. I could be wrong. But, it's the one where Joker's in the tuxedo and he's just kind of looking straight onto the camera and Harley has like her hand on his chest and she's like, so just like, I'm like
enamored by
that's
him.
Hot.
I want that.
I want the real love. Oh. Yeah. Help me destroy, you know, the establishment through my jokes.
Right. Cause I am a fucked up human and you still love me. And that's kind of how I view the Joker and Harley Quinn's relationship. So that's why I love that so much.
I love Harley Quinn.
Okay.
Yeah. So no, it's not the pigtails. It's not Tara Strong's voice. That's way higher.
It's Tara Strong, not Margot Robbie.
I like, I mean, it's hard not to like Margot Robbie because she's
Margot Robbie.
She's perfection.
People were saying she was mid after Barbie too, and I'm like, y'all are mad. Y'all are triggered.
Fuck you.
I would love to see who you think is the 10 or whatever if Margot Robbie is your mid. How dare you, sir?
How dare you?
How dare you?
That makes me like a...
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, because...
No, negative.
I'm like a
negative
0.5.
10. Yeah, because it's like, all right, so... If you say Harley Quinn is mid, I don't know what your partner has to look like, but like, can you imagine if like your partner looked at Margot Robbie and went like, oh, she's just ugly. Like, how bad would you feel about yourself?
I would feel like shit. But I think when people say stuff like that, it's them actually wanting the person. So guys will be like, oh, I hate that bitch. She's so ugly. Those are the girls you have to worry about.
Especially in
that
relationships.
Means he's really into her.
Yeah, because he's doing the
he's
old...
He's trying to deny it.
He's like, no, she's so fucking ugly.
Yeah, he's doing the
my
neg.
My ex is so crazy. Right?
Yeah, where you like neg a girl and tell her she's ugly and then she has to get your approval. So then it's like, yeah, that does work on some women, but I would say not exactly the right kind.
Yeah, not the right kind.
Definitely worked on me.
And no... reverse psychology is a real thing. It's worked on me before. Not necessarily women coming up and being like, you're ugly. I'd be like, all right, bitch, fuck off. Like, I'm not going to do that. But like reverse psychology definitely works on me. If you tell me, oh, Brad can't do that. Mm-hmm. My immediate thought is, oh, no, well, now I got
to
do that.
Now I have to do it. Yeah,
whether it be watch good me. For me or not.
See, my issue is like, I can't tell. I almost like negging at the start because mm-hmm. it's usually in banter. Mm. Like you're roasting somebody, you're going yeah. back and forth. It's not until I'm like a month in where I'm like, I think that banter was a little mm-hmm. personal. Do you yeah. know what I mean? Yep. Like it wasn't a joke.
It's
and now,
gotta stop at some point.
Yeah, or like you're insecure and you keep trying to bring up things and it was funny and cute at first, but now this is becoming yeah. a problem.
Oh, absolutely. And like, so there, it's so funny you say that. So my wife and I have a safe word, but not for sex.
For life.
For we have a safe word for when I take a joke too far.
That's and smart.
That's so smart.
She says the safe word, what's which the safe is word? Cephalopod. And her choice. It's her favorite mollusk. my wife's a nerd.
I like your wife.
Yeah, no, she's great. So when I hear that word, like even as I say it, I'm like, I need to stop. It's so like Pavlov's
what's a joke
dog.
That you took too far?
Oh, geez. A lot of family jokes. Let's just say that.
Okay.
So yeah, I say stuff like that, and then she says it, and of course the rule is I just shut down. Mm-hmm. I stop if I'm asking her questions about something, and she says nope. The last thing she said it on was I was just talking about essentially how traumatic the year that our daughter was born was because it was COVID and we couldn't get any help and we were all locked in the house and it was just me and my wife and my mother-in-law. We were the only ones
shit.
Watching the kid. And I was like bringing out like, hey, we've come a long way. But then she shut me down. She's like, now I'm going back to that place and don't let me go there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no problem. And you know, when she says the word, you respect it and that's fine.
That's beautiful. Such healthy boundaries.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I really like that. And I would encourage more couples to do that because yeah, it's one thing if the guy's choking you too much or you're a woman and you're calling the guy daddy and he's like, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. So
that's happened to me before. Yeah,
that's one thing. But hey, sometimes you need someone's having fun in their mind, but you're not having fun.
Yep.
And it's healthy to have that word to kind of bring them back and be like, hey, let's go more towards a happy place that we can all agree is
what
good.
Would our safe word be?
I don't know.
Yeah. It's in the contract.
Anytime I want Emily to do something, I'm like, oh, we have to go out. We have to meet this person in network. Emily's like, I'm tired. I'm like, it's in the contract. Let's go. We're going.
All right. I mean, it has to be something that you don't say normally.
Yeah. So what's something we don't say normally?
What's our favorite mollusk?
I love you.
Our favorite.
Okay. What are mollusks?
Crustacean. Wait.
Yeah.
Crustaceans.
Yeah. Wait. So, yeah. If you want to go down
we
that
we can say
path.
Lobster.
Lobster's a good one.
I
don't
like that. I eat lobster.
Oh, see, can't do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, how about a
truck? A word we don't say often? The N-word.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Not to turn this into a racial podcast while we're smoking weed and solving
with all
the world's
white
problems.
People.
Yeah, but so
there's one minority here.
Yeah. My opening act is a really great comedian. His name is JB Ball. He's from Florida.
Are we going to see him tonight?
Yeah. Black guy, very funny. We do the meet and greet afterward. The stuff I've heard where I look at him and go like, is this like, it's so interesting because I hear people come up to him and say things where I'm like,
what are you saying?
Like they're just very racist things.
Like microaggression or just straight up racist?
A lot of microaggression. He's been called a good one many times.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible. That's horrible.
What the fuck?
So like it's weird. He and I are giving each other like crash courses in terms of like what the other has to go through. I'm seeing people react to him. He's also seeing people talk to me and like he's like, dude, people just do that. And I go, yep. That's a thing. It became a joke in my act, but I have to say at the end of the show, when I'm saying that I'm doing a meet and greet, I go, rule number one, you can't pick me up. You can't fucking pick me up. And literally, sometimes I'll say that and some guy in the audience will be like, why not? It's like, because I'm a man.
I'm okay? a person. Like,
I'm 39.
Don't touch my body.
I'm a dude. I got a bad L5. No, you can't pick me up. Jesus Christ.
That's so weird that people think that they can do that to you.
Yeah, they can just do it. But like, boom,
well, it's like people
Instagram
touching
photo.
Your boobs.
Yeah.
I get that a lot.
Like, she has ginormous titties under that shirt. And people will just like grab them.
Really?
A lot of gay guys.
A lot of gay guys will think it's fine without even saying hi.
Yeah, gay guys.
They're just
sometimes.
Like honka honka.
And you're like, no, that's not what we're doing. It's like women's pregnant bellies. A lot of people
so
start
weird.
Rubbing pregnant bellies. My wife had that a lot of times and she really doesn't like strangers touching her. So that was really interesting. People like flat out, like, I just met you. And then, touch him. Like, let's
that's how I feel. I wouldn't want anyone to kiss my baby.
Mm-mm.
I don't even like, you know how people like, there's a whole thing like, don't fucking come near my kid.
Yeah.
Nope. I mean, you can pass herpes so easily to
exactly.
babies.
Exactly. That's
so, if you go on my Instagram, I don't post many photos of my daughter, but when I do, I always make sure the face is blocked out. And that had to happen. At first, I used to post photos of her and just of her, and it was fine. And then my wife was in a grocery store one day. I was not there.
Oh.
And so I'm on the road, and she was with the kid, and someone yelled out, that's Brad Williams' baby, and just ran up and started doing like the, like, hey, Gucci, Gucci kind of thing. And my wife nearly kicked her chest in, like, was like, get the fuck back. And so once that happened, I'm like, nope, no more face. The fact that I'm not even there and someone felt that was okay to do, it's very strange. If I am out at an airport or walking around a mall, whatever, and you see me and you recognize me and you want a photo, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Come say hi. It's fine. I'm very personable. It almost bums me out when I get a tweet later like, I just saw you at the furniture store. I wanted to say hi, but I didn't. It's like, no, come say hi. It's fine. If I'm with my family, don't.
Okay.
That's when, no. Like
family time is family time.
Yeah, and my wife didn't choose that life. My daughter certainly hasn't chosen that life. I've chosen this life. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with you having your moment and then letting me be. That's fine. But yeah, that's when it was taken a little too far.
What's the craziest fan you've run into?
Ooh. See, I got a few. It's weird. I have one stalker, but she's actually really nice. I like her. She's a good.
We're friends now.
We
write letters back and forth.
So she has seen me in 2 weeks. She was gone. She will have gone to her 50th show. And
holy shit.
But yeah.
But you do the same set, right? Pretty much?
I mean, it changes a little bit as I'm writing new, but yeah, more or less. She's seen a lot of the same jokes a lot of times. And she comes and she has fun and she goes to the meet and greet afterward. We take a photo every time and she's delightful. She's ordered many cameos from me and trust me, walls were up. Walls were like, okay, this is kind of weird. But then like I got to know her and talk to her and she goes, no, your comedy just makes me happy. So I like to do it.
That's a beautiful thing.
And I'm
thing.
Like, okay, cool. So it's like, I would say she's kind of the weirdest one, but she's not weird in a bad way. Like I actually,
she's a good stalker.
Yeah,
she's one of the good
ones.
That
was us, and that was a man showing up to everything, and they were just like, "You just make me happy." I'd be like, "Back the fuck away! You're not welcome back at my show."
Yeah,
I don't want to make you happy.
Yeah, and that absolutely does have something to do with it, in terms of like the dynamic where if like a man does that, it's like, mm-hmm. it's a little no.
Yeah,
makes you feel unsafe. But no, she's very cool. She's very respectful. There's definitely some cuckold fans out there that have asked me to have sex with their wives.
Is that like a boundary you'd rather people not ask?
Yeah, because then I have to be like, no.
You're like,
I'm married.
They're like, I just had to ask. Like, they couldn't die happy knowing they met you and didn't throw it out there.
Gotta shoot my shot. Sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
If I haven't put that out there. Yeah. If I haven't put that out there, then now, I mean, maybe it's because, okay, so I told a story in one of my specials, I can't remember which one, about doing a threesome, but it was with two dudes. And, you know, so, you know, a little Eiffel Tower action going on. And at some point during, we were switching positions, the guy, the other guy's naked, I'm naked, and the way the apartment was set up and the way we moved around, he paintbrushed me, where he just kind of, the dick just, not on purpose, just went across my head. So I told that story on Simba. A special. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Look inside yourself. And I don't know if it's based on that or based on God knows what, but some people feel like they can be very open and very comfortable. And I'm sure you guys get it. You guys are very open sexually on your podcast.
Yeah.
And in your lives and in your acts. And,
yep. And we told you about our celibacy periods.
Yeah. And that happens. And people feel like they know you. And oftentimes they'll jump to a certain level way
too
quick.
0 to 1,000.
Yes. Very, very many times.
It's a lot.
I do that with offensive jokes. Like I'll meet people and within like 2 minutes.
I asked about your dead dad. We just met you. What happened with your father?
Yeah. And I rolled with it because that is, for me, that's me. But there have been many times where I will say something and someone will kind of look at me and go, I haven't known you long enough to say that joke to you. Like I need to, and I think it all comes from my wife, like having the safe word.
Hey, cephalopod, like,
well,
you? Yeah,
you're exactly. Also, well, now it's more self-awareness when you're actively trying to be self-aware in your relationship, you're like, oh fuck, I can apply this everywhere.
Yeah. 1,000%.
Super helpful.
And it can help. And being, being in a, what I would call a successful marriage has definitely helped me be a better friend because now I can listen better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm slightly less of a narcissist. I would say I'm still a narcissist.
Do you think your wife has taught you a lot about like healing and stuff like that?
To an extent.
Absolutely. Yeah, of course we're narcissists. We go up on stage. The act of stand-up comedy is a very narcissistic act. Hey, room full of strangers, you all need to listen to me.
Well, so, okay, let's do perspective here.
Sure.
Because it's always what you look at it. Mm-hmm. You have a fan who comes to the last 50 of your shows because you make her happy.
Yep.
So is it narcissistic or are you giving a joy to the world?
Both.
A little bit of both.
Both. Yes. Both can be true.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've definitely caught myself a few times being in like a dinner party or a social gathering and everyone's around in a circle. They're all telling stories and I start telling a story and someone interrupts me to tell like, oh yeah, that's so true. That reminds me of the time that and my wife will kick me under the table because like the look I get on my face is like, how dare you interrupt me? I've had comedy specials. People pay money to hear me speak.
How many times have you thought about that during this podcast?
God. No, not this podcast. This is a give and take.
Other podcasts?
Absolutely. You guys are very talented. You guys are successful and there's a reason. It's because you're good. So
Thank you.
So when you're talking, obviously your fans want to hear that. Mm-hmm. You have subscribers because they enjoy the sound of your voices.
Yeah.
So it does. Yeah. Not
the
having
issue
that at
is
all.
Getting over the sound of your own voice.
I think I hate listening to my own voice. Do you ever look back at recordings like sets and you're like,
Oh, the worst.
So like we're narcissistic if we want to go on stage, but at the same time, also deeply insecure.
Yes.
I'm always thinking about how I'm being perceived.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That
and
is.
I hate that because I don't like being perceived. Don't perceive me.
Yeah.
But then we want to be perceived. So it's a tough balance.
Yes. Yeah. And so anyone that dates a comedian or anyone who's out there in the public eye, it takes a very special type. My wife has a support group for
comedians' wives.
Yeah.
No, that is honestly, it's a lot. It's like
needed.
Having an army husband where they're like deployed and you don't get to see them.
Yep. Mm. And she has that. And there's a group that they kind of do Zoom calls and they do phone calls.
Do you know the other wives?
Yes.
All the husbands, like, did they talk about it and then the husbands talk about what they talked about?
It kind of goes, it's kind of a circle jerk of that where it's like, it kind of just keeps going around and around in a circle where, you know, someone will say something and then the wife will be like, and it's just, it stinks because this. And then the husband's be like, can you believe that she doesn't like this kind of stuff? And yeah, so yeah, that does happen a little bit, but I think it's valuable for that. I think it's good because very few people know what it's like to date someone who is in the public eye mm-hmm. and always gone, and someone who you feel like is not necessarily all yours, that you're sharing with the world.
That's hard.
Yeah. And also just the fact that, like, when you type my name into Google and it does the autofill, you want to know what number two is? Brad Williams' wife.
Yeah.
And my wife's a very private person. She's not on Instagram. She's not on Twitter. She's not pretty much not on social media. She has a very, very private social media. And so she doesn't like the fact that sometimes people find her and they ask her questions. And
yeah.
What's even funnier, this one makes me laugh, is that she has shown me these messages. She will get messages from male little people saying like, hey, you're into dwarves.
No.
Yeah. That makes me laugh so hard.
No, she's into you.
Yeah, she's yeah. into me. And also, buddy, if she's into dwarves, she's got a top fiver, okay?
Yeah. Like, do you know who I am?
Are you in the top five? Like, how many comedy specials have you had?
That's like, how I feel about when ugly guys DM me, like, so confidently. Because I'm like, you really?
Yeah.
I'm insulted.
Yeah. Does it make you curious at all? Like, why is this ugly troll having this much confidence?
Yeah, I'm like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, nothing. I'm like, where's nothing my is confidence? Wrong with me?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that one always does make me laugh. And she's showed me the DMs. And then I will, of course, DM the little person like, what's up,
let's
dude?
Fight. Would you fight them?
Yeah.
There should be, yeah. Fight all the people who've tried to hit on your wife.
I'll let my wife fight. She's a better fighter.
She's a fighter.
By far. She's legit.
But you used to do wrestling, right?
Yeah, I used to do wrestling. I was in not like pro wrestling. Like I was on the high school wrestling team. So yeah, I've done that. And my wife's got multiple black belts and multiple different martial arts.
So she could kick your ass.
Oh, but yeah. Yeah. So when I...
does that turn you on kink-wise? Would you let her kick your ass?
Not necessarily kick my ass, but as someone who is smaller, I do find it titillating that my wife can protect me. I do like that. I also think it's very funny because like if something, you know, if we're upstairs in bed and then we hear a noise, like she goes to investigate, but then if there's a spider, I got it. Like my wife, all right, here's what happened one time. We joke about this story. So I'm sitting there with the baby. We're watching Blaze and the Monster Machines or whatever the heck shows that she's watching. My wife's making dinner, and all of a sudden my wife leaves the room, comes back with a bat, and walks outside. And I'm like,
what the fuck?
Fuck's happening?
Who is she pegging?
Here's the thing. So then she comes back with the bat, puts it down, and goes back to cooking. And I'm like, context?
Happened?
Something. She's like, what? I'm like, you left with a bat. Like, do I need to go dispose of a dead body? Like, what's happening? And she goes, oh, so our neighbor called and said that there were some people snooping around. They saw on their cameras that some people were snooping around our other neighbor's house. So I wanted to go check it out. I'm like, give me a heads up. Oh, by the way, honey, I'm taking a bat to possibly take on three strangers. If I'm not back in 5 minutes, call the damn cops, protect the kid. Like going.
You wouldn't even know.
Yeah, oh my God.
It's like, I would like, she would just
she
be
was
gone.
So confident. She's yeah. like, I got this. She's like this is my family.
We're
what
fine.
A woman. What yeah. a woman. That is
I
hot.
Love that.
Yeah, she's a badass. She's a certified badass. So yeah, that's something where it's like, okay, you can kick ass, but yeah, just give me a heads up. Let me know
just
what's
let
happening.
Let me know when you're going to fight, babe.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I've watched her fight only one time, but it was the hottest thing I've ever seen.
Was it a real fight?
Well, it wasn't a real fight because the guy didn't fight back.
Pussy.
He couldn't. He was already knocked out.
Oh.
I told the story.
Wow.
I told the story on one of my specials. I'll on the Netflix special. I'll tell the abridged version. We were in Vegas at a bar at the MGM Grand. You guys both reach for your things at the same time. That was cute.
Addiction.
Yay. The bar is called Whiskey Down, and we're there, and a guy comes up to my wife and starts hitting on her, and I'm just, I believe I was just dating her at the time, and I was like, hey, I'm the boyfriend. Hi, nice to see you. And then he said something really mean to me, and essentially the line that got that put it over the head was like, hey, this is between me and this bitch right here. And my wife just went, nope, front kick. Right to the face, knock the guy out, one shot. And I have never been more turned on in my entire
Can
life.
Can I marry your wife?
That's really hot. Superhero. All right,
thruple. Let's go. And by thruple, I mean you and my wife will, I'll just be in the, up in the corner.
You're just holding the bat in the corner.
Yeah. If anyone else comes in,
I'll protect the family.
These are mine.
I think if I was going to date a woman, I would need to date a woman who could fight.
Yeah. It's
making your case, Emily.
sorry.
It's a huge turn on to me when a woman is fiercely independent,
right?
In many ways. I know that.
How do we find men? Because I feel like we're fiercely independent and in the limelight, and they're like, that's too much for my ego.
How do we find funny men?
Oh,
that also aren't in their ego.
Oh God, we're fucked.
That's so hard.
We have four cats together, guys.
It's so difficult because the male ego in general is, I have to be the protector. Mm-hmm. I have to be the provider, and probably I have to be the funniest person.
That's not going to happen, bitch.
Exactly. It's got
no. See, I can be feminine, and I know how to make a man feel like a man. So there shouldn't be an issue. They just are afraid it's going to be an issue.
Yes, and because it's not an issue, you don't look at them as being less than because they are not as funny as you. But
also, I wouldn't date someone who wasn't funny. So yeah. I would be in love with them, and I'd be like, "You're so funny," and then they would be like, their insecurities would be like, "You don't actually think I'm that funny."
It's like, no, I do.
I do.
Because I'm with you.
Yeah,
but you are. I've only dated one comic in my life. She's no longer doing it, so I won't obviously say her name, but she asked me to come watch her perform. I'm like, hell yeah, I'd love to come see you perform. And I saw her perform, and I'm like, oh no, like not just unfunny, because I've seen unfunny comics to where I go, okay, but there's something there.
Yep,
like you.
This was just a bad day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You have stage presence. You can construct a joke. Like, your jokes have rhythm. They just didn't land. Good premises, whatever. I can see that. We've all seen comics bomb, but still where you're like, but that's a good comic.
Yeah, I see where you're coming up with that.
Yeah, you can do something with
that.
You
got potential, kid.
This was not that.
Oh no, it was just atrocious.
Not that at all. It was just awful. And I've never been... Like, and she was a beautiful woman, and I'm like, I've never been less attracted to someone.
Did you break up with her right after?
Very shortly after that.
Oh, you gotta give it like a week or something, a couple
very
days.
Very shortly after that. And maybe that's why she quit comedy.
She invites you to another show. You're like, actually, we need to talk.
Yeah.
No, this is over.
Holy shit.
And I felt awful, and I never said that when I broke up. But... yeah, that was absolutely the reason.
When I first got started, I would bring guys to shows. I was not a good comic.
Don't do that.
And I would sometimes, I will be like, oh, they'd want to be like, I want to see you. I'm like, well, this is an open mic and it sucks. And they're like, no, but I want to hang out and I'm in the area. So I'd be like, fine. And I always had a joke where I kind of called out the fact that there was a dude there for me. Mm-hmm. I got ghosted so many times.
Yeah. No.
I should have. But then there was one guy who was like, I love that you do this and I see your confidence and whatever, and you're going to be a killer. And I was like, going to suck your dick later.
You. Yeah.
Tell me more.
Yeah. That's
fantastic. So I could weed the ones out.
Yeah. It is something that I would tell all open mic, certainly open mic comedians, that it's like, don't invite people.
Never.
Don't invite your friends. You're not good yet.
I love doing that.
But you're not good yet.
They don't. Well, so she just started. Okay. And we do everything pretty much together. We'll like just go to different shows together. They often book us together, which they don't have to.
I'm glad they do. Hey, that's multiple women on the same show. That's great.
Diversity.
There's a lot of women on the shows down here, I feel
good.
There's a lot of female comics.
This is a great comedy scene in terms of like community.
Hell yeah. love hearing that.
Yeah.
It's exciting to hear that there's so many comedy communities where it's not just New York and LA anymore. Mm-hmm. Like now there's a really strong community here, obviously in Austin, Texas, in mm-hmm. Nashville. Yep. Like Denver's got an amazing scene. Phoenix.
Oh yeah.
So it's like there's all these different places where there's really great comedy scenes, and I love it. I love the fact that you don't have to be in LA, have to get on a show, no, you can build your own show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially down here because it is like smaller too. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, "Oh, move to Austin." I'm like, let's get on the improv circuit consistently in my, like, down here, and then get good. That's, you know what I mean?
That's always the advice I give to comics.
And then go there, because it's going to be a lot easier for us to find our voice and figure that shit out, and then...
Also, if you have a following already, you'll be more likely to be booked on good shows when you get out there. Mm-hmm. So
we'll be doing a live podcast tour, guys.
Yeah.
It's starting.
This year.
Yeah. It's starting this year.
Pack it up the Winnebago. Let's go.
Yeah, we don't have a date yet, but we're going to do the improv and do a live show.
Which improv?
Miami.
Oh, Miami improv. Oh, yeah. So you're going to do a live one. Yeah. That's awesome.
Which will be super cool.
It'll be very interesting for you when you see what your fans look like.
I'm very curious
who that audience is, because also this is a sexual podcast, so
you don't want to hear who our audience is based on analytics and the people who come up with us. It ranges from like, I don't know, 18, I guess 22, mm-hmm. that to in the 60s. There's older people in married relationships that listen to us who are like,
awesome.
You remind me of my youth and I want to live vicariously through you, and
all right,
it's good topics. But then we have college kids, and then we have people in pretty much all ages. Like, I don't know.
It's a very wide range.
Discriminate.
That's fantastic.
You know?
And weed brings people together.
It really does.
Yeah. We had like the nerdiest guy in the Paramount. The Paramount's that dope building right there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That fucking software engineer dude.
He was like in his 40s or something. Like, he was an older guy, and we like walked out. We were with a group of people, and he was, "Hey, you guys are famous." And we're like, "What?" And he was like, "Yeah, like I recognize you. I saw you guys on like Valuetainment or whatever. I've like seen some of your clips. Like, you guys are funny." Like, but he was like super nerdy, and he was like, "I'm a mathematician." And he was older, and he like had followed along, and we were like, "This is so interesting. Not what I expected to listen." But
hey, it's always exciting, and I do like, that's part of the reason I do the meet and greets is I like to hear those stories. I like to hear people come up and like, "Hey, how'd you get into this?" Or if people come up and say, "Hey, you really helped me through a rough time." Like, aww, hell yes. Mm-hmm.
What's your demographic?
Oh, all dwarfs. No. it's funny. When I first started, that I remember one comedy club owner in particular, and if you're in the world of comedy, you'll know them by the voice that I do. I won't say the name. He was like, "Buddy, I tell you what we're going to do, buddy. We're going to have all dwarf comedy show, buddy. All dwarf in on stage, all dwarf in audience. It'll be..."
Wait, what?
I'm like, I can't...
It's a dwarf convention.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't get five to come to my show. You're going to pack a room? Good luck.
You have to fly them out.
Yeah. Thankfully, I'm getting... there's definitely a good diversity demographic. And I don't like to be political during my shows or on my social media. So it is really interesting whenever I kind of hint at something where some people fight back. I'm like, "Oh, wow. I thought we were all on the same team." "No, we are not." "Okay, cool. Noted." Like, and so I've got all people that.
Yeah. I would say the only people who are not our audience are people who are easily triggered. Like, we do say a lot of fucked up things. Yeah.
Or like, those are the people who listen to us because they get triggered and they're like, "Oh, I hate these girls," but then they watch anyways.
Hate watch. Yeah. All right.
Or they leave like hate comments. One time we just got a review on Apple Podcasts and it was like, "Jamie Lee is a loser."
That's
and
it?
That was it. It was so funny.
Oh, nice.
I love that. There was one that like, they were like, "You make too many autism jokes."
Okay. So we doubled down.
So we yeah.
Sure. We make more autism jokes now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's great.
No, why not? It's always weird to me. It'll always be fascinating when someone complains about a comedy show and they'll bring up specifically like, "Hey, you made fun of this group and that group, and that's wrong." You'd be like, "Okay, well, they also made fun of this group, this group, this group, this group, this group, this group. Were those okay?" "Oh yeah, those were fine." "All right, well, now bullshit." Well, now I'm not listening to your opinion. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah. So all you're telling me is that I just hit the one group that applies to you. And that, like, quick example. So I do this joke in my act right now where I talk about in Canada, they used to have a hockey division called the midget division. And I'm not offended by it because the joke is like, well, we're the only disability that got a division. Like, you're not going out to watch the cystic fibrosis slap the puck. And I got some hate from that joke on some live shows where they're like, you really shouldn't make fun of. And I'm like, okay. I made fun of a lot of other different groups. And I said, like, okay, so do you have someone in your family? Like, yeah, I'm like, there you go. That's why. It is sensitive to you and okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay. I'm not saying you don't have to like everything. I'm just saying be aware that that is your sensitivity. That is your bias. But you're a hypocrite if you say, well, you just can't make fun of the thing that applies to me.
Yeah.
And you're a supreme grow narcissist. Some balls.
Do you get a lot of people heckling about stuff like that?
Not really. Not anymore. Thankfully, I get people that are like the vast majority of my audience. Like, they know me.
Yeah.
They know what they're getting into. Mm-hmm. And they kind of know what to expect. And that's great. I'm really thankful for that. Cause
that's
beautiful.
That's a great feeling too.
When you first go on stage.
You don't have to like worry about that.
Yeah. When you first go on stage and there's a lot of people in the audience, they're just there because they walked by and there was a comedy show. Yep. And they don't know what a comedy show is.
That is a lot of Miami.
Yep.
And like Spanish moms hate me. If I'm in a room full of Spanish moms, like,
why?
Cause I'm talking about pegging and fucking eating ass and like my dead dad and like his ashes and shit and I call my mom a cunt, like I say everything.
Dios mio.
Maybe they're cunts and that's they feel called out
and that's my joke, that's what I say to them.
But if the shoe fits, babe.
Yeah. Well, the important thing is now, whether it be via OnlyFans or these podcasts or stand-up, that everyone can kind of find what their thing is. You can find what applies to you and you can enjoy that.
And, take what you and, like and leave the rest.
Yeah. And then if someone is doing something that you don't particularly like, that's totally fine too. They can do that thing. Does it hurt anybody? No. Great. Yeah. Let them do the thing. Not everyone has to do that's why one thing that I, like, going back to the Barbie movie, like, some men are getting really pissed off, but they haven't even seen the Barbie movie. And I'm like, well, it's not for fucking you.
Yeah.
Not everything has to be for you.
Yeah.
So this movie that you were not going to go see anyway, you don't think it should even exist because, well, I wasn't going to go see it, but it should still be something I would like. What the fuck is wrong with you?
People are
so fucking sensitive these days.
Yeah. One of the things I saw you on a podcast, you were talking about, I think it was Adam Ray's podcast, mm-hmm. and you were talking about how you like look at every joke from like everyone's perspective. So I started out telling all my jokes like shock value and saying all the stuff. And sure. Sometimes it would do really well. And then mm-hmm. sometimes it was like, they're not on my side. And so now trying to look at that joke of why they're not on my side and being able to mm-hmm. call it out in a, like, I've been practicing that of like different perspectives and it's actually helping a lot more. It's
good.
Been great.
No, it's a good writing trick where you just kind of, so you say, I was walking down the street. Great. Is there the joke from the perspective of the person watching you walk down the street? Is there a joke from the perspective of the person you talk to? The joke from the perspective of someone that like just kind of encountered you that day? So find those perspectives around the joke and then you can write that. And then also if one of those perspectives is offensive to people, they'll have others that they can tag onto. So it's a writing trick that I learned and I forget it all too often. I need to get back to it. But yeah, because sometimes when I'm in a rut, can't write a new joke to save my life, I'll remember that and go, oh, write that. And I'll go back and yeah. But it was
super helpful.
Okay, because you understand your premise. You see why it's funny, but it's finding the funny in other people and how they can enjoy it.
Yes, yes. It's a fun writing trick and you'll learn things when you explore those different perspectives that you didn't even realize, like, oh yeah, that's how that would happen. So it'll kind of broaden yourself as well.
Okay. If you had to give advice to a young comic, what would you say?
Go on stage. Go on stage, go on stage, go on stage, go on stage, go on stage.
You heard that?
Yes. Go on stage.
You heard that?
Yeah.
I'm hearing it.
I'm going on stage.
All the stuff about like, well, they're not my crowd. Yeah. You don't have a crowd yet. You're young. You don't have a crowd yet. It's you know, you can build one. It takes a while. I'm 20 years in. Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's some people that be like, well, that show is full. No, you have to learn. You have to learn how to kill in front of all crowds. Like, well, that's an urban show. Great. Go kill for the urban show. Figure it out. And it's the wonderful and annoying part about comedy, where the only way to get better at it is to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't read a book. Can't take a class. It can help, but it's not going to truly make you better until you actually just go on stage and do it. And when you kill in front of those audiences that are not your audiences, then you won't be scared. When you go up and the lighting guy isn't right. About a month ago, I was in Phoenix, Arizona, doing stand-up live. It's a sold-out show. That particular room holds 550 people. And in the middle of the show, a fire alarm goes off. Now, I thought, okay, joke about it, and then 2 or 3 minutes, it'll stop. This thing went on for 25 minutes. And I'm on stage.
Stop.
Holy shit.
And I can't stop, because if I stop the show, everyone leaves. You know, they all ask for their money back. I don't get the ticket revenue. and I'm like, well, I gotta make this work. But thankfully, I've been doing this long enough, and I've been in enough rooms where, like, okay, I can make this work. I powered through, and I told the audience, like, this is going to get weird. Do you want to get weird with me? And yeah. They were so amazing, and they hopped on board, and I was timing my jokes to where the punchlines would hit in between buzzes. Oh. Like, literally, like, talk, like, in my head, I'm like, talk slower, talk slower, talk slower, and speed up in punchline. And, like,
that skill.
That's a great skill.
It was something I'm glad I did. I'm mm-hmm. glad that I stuck with it. And that now gives me the confidence that no matter what happens, I can be like, all right, I'm fine. I did 25 minutes with a fire alarm. I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm
good.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So good shit. So go and put yourself out there into many circumstances. Go on stage, go on stage, go on stage.
I see a lot of, like, new comics not wanting to do, like, shitty bar shows. And I feel like those are my favorite sometimes, because you never, mm-hmm. like, they'll be, like, loud ACs going because you're in, like, a brewery, and you have to either, like, project, or you have to, like, be slow, talk slower because of whatever's going on, mm-hmm. or someone's hammered and someone's back's, like, half this table's back's turned to you, and you're like, and everyone's talking, but if you can get them to silent down, you're like, I had a good night because I got them to pay attention.
For
and
for them, you're golden. Then nothing's going to scare you. When you get a heckler, when you get something, when you're in a club that has a margarita machine that's way too loud in the back, nothing will scare you because you've gone through that already. If you just, you know, like, iron sharpens iron. If you're just waiting for the perfect wave and the perfect scenario and the perfect everything, like, you're not gonna, it's never gonna happen, and you're not gonna know what happens when you get those unperfect situations, which are the more common mm-hmm. scenario. So
I love it.
Get out there.
Wow. Great advice.
This is a great episode.
Great podcast.
Good.
Thanks for coming on.
You had fun?
I'm glad. Yeah, I had fun. We talked a lot about different things. Mental health, sexual stuff, comedy stuff. And I think everybody had a good time. I had a good time.
You're like, now I need a nap before my show is tonight.
I do. can I lay in one of the cat beds?
Yeah.
All right. I can fit.
We have those big pillows over there.
Done and done. All right. I'm gonna go lay
on
a pillow.
We'll drive you to the show.
And yet my legs will still dangle. It'll be weird. Okay.
Alrighty. Well, you have a tour?
Yes. Go to bradwilliamscomedy.com. I just announced Tour 24. That is over 60 dates in the year 2024. We're moving into theaters now. So if you're listening to this all over the country, I'm going just about everywhere. So even towns where you're like, well, I live in Joliet, Illinois. Congratulations.
Yeah, didn't you had like Peoria or something? Yep. I saw that. I was like, people just have corn out there and do drugs.
Yeah, I'm going there. I'm going to some place called Terre Haute, Indiana. Let's fucking go.
I like that name.
That'll be a great show.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. So Tour 24, it's at bradwilliamscomedy.com.
Hell, and where can we find you on social media?
Brad Williams Comic on Instagram and at Funny Brad on Twitter. I'm still threading. I'm holding on to hope.
It's a little rough right now.
It's a little rough on Threads, but at Brad Williams Comic on Threads as well.
Well, we love it. You guys know where to find us. We'll have all the links in the description. And we'll see you next fucking week.
Peace out, bitches.
You filthy fucking stoners. We're going to go get high now.